Today's September 28th, 2008. We're finishing the SALT book, My Relationship with God, the first one. And our lesson today is entitled, I Am Accepted. And this is an important truth for us to grasp in our lives. Our key verse is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 16. And I took it from the New Living Translation. And I want you to look at this verse with me and think about it for just a minute. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. So there's two characters in that passage. Who will give me one of the two characters? God is one, and who's the other one? Man. Right? So as we look at this lesson today, there's two basic ways to view acceptance. One of them is man's way, which you'll be the most familiar with, probably. And the other one is God's way. Does that make sense? There's two different ways to look at this. Now, for Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being accepted by God, even though we are guilty of many sins. So show me the two things in there. What are the two things you could be? Either condemned, how many like that one? Or accepted. Those are the bottom lines of both of those two ways of viewing things. So what I hope to do is lead you into a path of understanding how to see the difference between the world's ways and God's ways and actually appropriate them in a personal way in your relationship with God, but in a practical way also of dealing with other individuals. Because if you deal with other individuals based on God's way, you'll get a different effect. So, acceptance is... Oh, I forgot to do this. It's a good thing I put it up here. I'm going to do this on the World Wide Web. Can you read that says Fireproof? There's a movie at the cinemas entitled Fireproof. And if you don't have anything scheduled to do this afternoon, I would encourage you to go see that. Media works in this way. The first weekend a movie is released, however many dollars it makes, that's what makes all the deciding factor in the decision making of movie makers. Right? And this is a good Christian film. It's made by the people who did Facing the Giants. And it's a good Christian film that has some good morals and content behind it. And those of us who are believers would like to support that type of movie making. So take a time to do that. I was supposed to do that in announcements, but I was looking the wrong way. Has that ever happened to you guys? Now, I'm still accepted even though I forgot to do that. Most of my life, I spent my life functioning for acceptance. How many of you can relate to that? You do and say things so that people will accept you. When I look at the teenagers here, you know, when I was in high school, holy simoly, spent a lot of time, energy, and effort functioning for acceptance. Now, there's another way that you could live, and you could function from acceptance. If you knew you were loved and accepted, then you would function in a different way than if you were trying to increase your love and acceptance. Does that make any sense to anybody? So what we want to do is learn how to live from acceptance, not for acceptance. Now, I'm going to do this in two different ways. On the back of your bulletin, there is a place to draw this. And if you don't have a pencil, we can. Anybody need a pencil? We can set you up with one. I have a bunch of golf pencils up here, and you can score. But there's two different ways. One of them is of the world, and one of them's God. And it's a whole lot like the first diagram that I drew you. You'll probably be more related to the left side of the diagram. But what we want to do is live on the right side of the diagram. And it's not really an overly complex diagram. It really consists of basically six words. Now then, as you and I grew up, there were people in our lives, your first word is authority. There were people of authority in our life. Now, who are some of those people in our lives? Your parents are a good one. Who else? Teachers are a good one. You guys read your book? Good. Who else? Your boss? And I would encourage you to put a fourth one in there, yourself. Most of us hold our yourself or myself as a higher authority than all those other ones. But we have these authorities in our life, don't we? And what authorities do has an impact on who we are. As we relate to God, many of the physical earthly authorities that we have will have an impact on how we see God. Because He's the ultimate authority. How many of you ever heard stories of fathers who do things in the home that cause their children to have a bad relationship with God? Anybody? Right? How many of you have bosses who are straight out of the pits and the fire of the lower levels? Right? I've worked for those types of people before. I've had teachers in school that, you know, treated me without really knowing who I was in a way that caused me to have a bad attitude towards teachers. And that's why I copy the words off of here, because third and fourth grade with my school teacher was not good, and I don't spell because of being in a battle with her. But the second things that authorities do is they hold us accountable. So write accountability on your diagram. Accountability. Authorities will use accountability to exercise their authority. Parents will do that. They will hold you accountable and exercise their authority like that. And all of these things on this side of the diagram are going to go down. So draw a little arrow that goes straight down. Then, after accountability, I want you to write the other A word. It's very alliterated. Affirmation. If you submit to the authorities and you submit to their accountability, then they will use affirmation to get you to perform well. And the last one that I want you to write down is the bottom line, and that's acceptance, what we've came to try to understand. If you're willing to submit to the authorities and they use accountability and affirmation, eventually, if you perform well enough, they will give you some affirmation. And that leads us to the bottom line where we actually get the acceptance that we're looking for. And the world uses that pattern quite regularly. And at the top of that arrow, you could write the word control. Which takes us right back to the beginning that we started talking about with the SALT lessons, that most of us want to be in control. Even if someone only calls it over-responsibility, it still is a form of control. We want to be in control. We don't like being out of control in our lives. So these four words are ones that we want to take a look at today. And then I want to try to share a testimony with you. I have a really cool dad, and one of the greatest things that I learned from my dad is a good work ethic. My dad did a fantastic job in discipling me in how to work hard and how to ignore a lot of the things that go on in life and just work right on through it. And when I was growing up, oftentimes my dad would leave me with something to accomplish when he went off to do construction work. And when he would come home, the first thing that he would ask me is, how'd you do at getting that done? And if I got it done, he would normally look at it and say, that's not too bad, but if you really wanted to do it the right way, the better way, you'd do it like this next time. And I came to find out that no matter how well I did, there was always a better way or whatever to do it. But it always challenged me to not stop thinking about how to do it, but to work harder and to think towards. Anybody else relate to those types of things in your life? And so he would use this, and if I would accomplish it, then I would receive the acceptance. And if I didn't do it, then I'd be hiding out in a tree fort or something when he came home, so I didn't have to deal with it, right? Now, God works at this whole scenario from a different angle. He starts down here and works his way up. And you could write under the bottom of it the word love. That marker is a failed marker. We're not using that one anymore. But it is purple, which I thought my sister would like and looked rather regal. Anyway, you can see that there's a vertical arrow going up. God starts from the point of love. And He works from there up. Now, when I got to be a father and had children, then I had made a decisive decision because of being a believer and understanding what the Word of God does, that I was going to do it different. at my house. Right? So when I would come home, I would spend time first individually with Julie and then my oldest child and then my second oldest child. But I would always begin down here with acceptance. And I would want to know how they were as an individual. How are you? How are you doing? How was your day? Right? Are there any problems that you can't work out by yourself that you want to chat about? Or is there anything fun that you want to do that you want to, we want to get on the schedule, right? Then after relating with them in a way of acceptance and love, then I would ask them, you know, how did you do at what I asked you to do? Because they always had tasks. This is probably not a good descriptive adjective, but somebody came up to me the other day and they said, "Hey, Wilmer, is Chris your son?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "He's one hell of a worker." I said, "Yeah." I taught them the same work ethic, but from a different acceptance base. When they were homeschooled at our house, Julie would be very methodical at checking through their paper and would mark the things that were wrong, and very rarely would she let me grade their papers, because I would take all the colored markers we have and circle and highlight and star and flower and smiley face everything they did right. And if it wasn't colored and highlighted, and there was something wrong with it, right? Whereas in the military, I had two types of bosses. Ones that would always point out to you what you did wrong, so you wouldn't do it anymore. And the other ones who would point out to you what you did right. And then most of the time when I worked for those people, I wanted to do better because I wanted them to tell me all the things that I did right, rather than all the things that I did wrong. Now, can you relate with people in the world that live like this and authorities like that? How many of you can understand the left side of that diagram? Anybody? Good. About a third of you. Okay, should I go over it more, or were you just unwilling to raise your hands? Wave your hand if you actually got it, but just lazy. I can relate to the lazy. Now, this is a different pattern over here. God functions from His love and acceptance for us. Now, I have two cute little words that aren't really on the diagram, but I want you to write on. There's an A word on this side. Write the word ability. Because everything on this side of the diagram, the world works on how good you are, the gifts, the abilities that you have. The better abilities you have, the more acceptance you're going to get. Does that make sense? Can you believe that's true? Performance-based acceptance, if you perform better and you have better wheels, better gifts, you're going to get more acceptance. Right? Now, if you're somebody like me and is born with flat tires and the wheels off the hubs, it doesn't really work that well on that side of the diagram for me. Because I'm just not that gifted. That side doesn't work for me very well. But on the other side of the diagram, I want you to write the word atonement. At one mint. On this side of the diagram, it is all based on the atonement of Jesus Christ. As we sang that song this morning, because He was forsaken, I am accepted. Yeah, because He was condemned, I'm forgiven. How's that? But there's three different things. Forgiven, accepted. Anyway, the point of it is, because of what Jesus did, we are made one with the Father. In His love, we are completely grafted into that, and we have total acceptance. Let me try to illustrate that for you. I got to watch my daughter be born. I got to watch Monica be born. Julie just got to go 8 or 9 weeks ago and watch our last grandson be born. And when I saw Monica being born, they took that little snotty, mucousy, bloody, matted, wrinkled critter and set it up on Julie's tummy, and Julie said, "Bill, isn't she beautiful?" And I looked at my wife, and I looked at that critter, and I looked Julie in the eyes, and I lied. Yes, she's beautiful. Right? But another unique thing happened in that moment of time. I decided I loved that little girl. Even though she wasn't that cute at that time, she's knockdown, drag-out, gorgeous right now, but she wasn't that beautiful at that time, but I decided I loved her. Now, was she able to feed herself? Was she able to clean herself up, wipe her own butt? No. She didn't have any of those abilities at all at that time, did she? But I totally, thoroughly, amazingly loved her. Why? Just because she was my daughter. That's the way God loves you. Even though you're wrinkly, snotty, messy, may not look that attractive, in your worst moments, He still loves you because He's a dad. And if you're born again, you're His kid. He loves you intimately from that. He totally accepts you. Now, because He loves you and accepts you, He will affirm you in things and He will hold you accountable in areas of your life. He loves you too much to leave you mucusy, snotty, sitting on your mom's tummy. He wants you to grow up to be a fully developed saint. So He will do those things so eventually you can come into a position of authority. Now, here's what happens with many of us in our relationship with God, in our relationship with children. As we begin to grow and develop, or as they can begin to grow and develop, we begin to love them in a different way based on their performance. How many of you can relate to that? You stop loving them when they're totally dependent on you. You start loving them based on what they can do for themselves and how well they're doing at that for themselves. How many of you understand that concept? That's not the correct biblical concept. What God challenges us in Revelations chapter 2 is to go back to our first love with your relationship with God, to that first love. With your relationship with your children, to that first love. And in that chapter, five times he says, repent and return. Repent and return to this love relationship with me and with them. Now, God loves you and affirms you. When in this love relationship with God, is there anything that we could humanly do to make God love us more than He does? Based on the atonement, is there anything you could do that would make God love you more? No. Look at it from the other side of the coin. Is there anything you can do to make God love you less? No. He's perfect. He's not like all the earthly authorities on this side of the diagram. He's perfect. He will never love you any more, never love you any less than when He decided to love you when you became His child and you were born again. Now, He will encourage you to grow up. He will encourage you to become discipled, as I will. You know, He will encourage you to move up the food chain from the acceptance, but it's from an accepted point. You don't have to question anymore, am I accepted? From the point of, I am accepted, you could build a life. Not for acceptance, but from God's acceptance. And if the most important entity in all the universe loves you in acceptance, what does it matter if somebody else don't? Does that make sense? From that eternal, perfect love, you could move up the food chain. Now, who loved first? God or you? God did. Yeah. In my relationship with Julie, there's no question in our historical background, if you ask her mother, which one of us loved the other one first? I loved that girl from the first day I got to sit down at study hall and talk to her. I met the most amazing person. And she talked with me, and I understood her, and she understood me, and I decided to love that girl for the person and personality that she is. Unfortunately, she had to get up and sharpen her pencil at the pencil sharpener, and then I saw the way she moved, and for about 15 years, I was totally distracted by her body, but initially, I loved her for who she is. And I've finally gotten back to that in 38 years of marriage, but I loved her first. Now, we were having a conversation just the other day in the car coming home from a hospital, and she says, I don't understand why for years, literally years, I didn't think you loved me. I still did, right? She just didn't believe it. Now that she does believe it, things are really fun. They're really good. I just kind of like them to stay here, but they never stay the way they are. They always change for better or worse, but I loved her first. And it's the same way with God. He loves you perfectly. Now, whether you believe Him and trust Him or not, like in Julie's, you know, 15 years of marriage where she didn't love me or trust me. She stayed married to me, but she didn't really like me very much. Right? Now, she could have, but she didn't. Now, it's probably the same way in you, in your love relationship with God. There's probably some things that earthly parents, teachers, bosses, or you yourself decided as an authority that inflict your love relationship with God. So what I'm challenging you to do is make a step of faith, make a decisive action based on who God is and what He says about you to believe God loves you. And that really is the conclusion of what I wanted to accomplish, is to move you to a point of making a decision based on His love and Jesus' atonement. Okay? We're going to go downstairs now and have some snacks and some fellowship. And we're going to discuss this when the snacks or fellowship are over. And I'll set up a chair by the door. Do not leave without a book. And do not spend a week with that just laying. Actually read through the questions and do them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the atoning work of Your Son. Would Your Spirit please stir in our hearts and lives the faith to believe who You've made us to be. The faith to believe the relationship that we have. And as we move into this psychological area of life, Holy Spirit, in this week, would You please remind us to do the stuff, and would You please use the stuff to change our lives, to give You honor and glory. We give You all the credit ahead of time. Believe deeply in You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.